there's Fauci and there's Bill Gates. They're all over this. So, and here's the thing. So I can't even take this. Like, I have to take this whole study with a grain of salt because I know their game. I've been studying them for a long time. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds universities to do the research to back their agendas. They are in their pocket. Like world-renowned scientists that have been published in academia and journals, science journals, where they've gone against the grain and they've questioned vaccines, the safety of them, the efficacy, if they cause autism, on and on. And then they will squash them, they will blacklist them, they will say that they've debunked it, and the WHO backs them on all of it.
As everyone knows, those with the courage to tell the truth are censored, bullied, and deplatformed. Green Pill Living was set up to fund the Patriot Movement as other avenues kept being stripped away. After a brutal attack and an ultimate shutdown for a few days, Green Pill Living is back up and ready to go stronger than ever. Please consider supporting this project and helping to fund your favorite independent journalists and patriots. You can purchase products such as CBD oil, colloidal silver, and much more. Please go to greenpillliving.com/Westall. Enter in the coupon code Westall, and first-time buyers will receive 10% off today. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the great Corey Lynn from Corey Diggs coming to the show today. She is just absolutely great. If you have not been following her stuff, she has a website where she's a researcher like no one I've seen, digging into all sorts of nefarious activities that are going on worldwide with our government, with the different deep state players, the global criminal cabal, and she just nails all of it. She's just absolutely wonderful. And she's going to come on and we're going to talk about Bill Gates, particularly about how he has been working behind the scenes with the healthcare industry, funding different pharmaceutical companies, funding the WHO, the World Health Organization, and what that means, how they're using our tax dollars, and how they're using slush funds to control policies and priorities, and how they control people in the industry. It's very eye-opening when you really dig into how brutal these people behave and what they're actually up to. And we conclude with what that means to us and how we need to fight for our rights, because these guys are not good guys. And when you look at their actions and what they're doing, we need to protect ourselves. And she dives in and gives you a lot of information on why that is and what you should be looking for in their actions. So I want to remind you before we get into this interview to please go to my website at sarahwestall.com and sign up for my newsletter. That's how you're going to stay on top of what shows I have out with all the censorship. I don't know how long we'll have on YouTube or on Twitter or any of these places. The censorship is just absolutely nuts. And so if you sign up for my email, at least you'll know you'll get my material. And I also want to let you know that my Patreon, I'm constantly putting up new information for people there that is exclusive for Patreons. And I just put up an exclusive interview with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She is just great. If you haven't followed her, she has over 40,000 plus hours on investigating vaccinations and what's behind them. And she's just great. She talks about the mass vaccinations that are heading for the adult population and the legislation behind that. That's my previous show that I did with her on Project BioShield and the PrEP Act and how they're all prepared to do mass vaccinations on adults. You really need to watch that show. It's very important that you're educated on these things. So if you want to get my Patreon material and sign up, I'd really appreciate it. Patrons get discounts on Tetragen and Defy Time, and they also get discounts on the great C60 that helps build your immune system like nothing else on the planet. So let's get into this great interview with Corey Diggs from CoreyDiggs.com. Corey, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Well, thanks for having me. We have a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot to talk about, and you are the best at this. I mean, I don't know if anybody is in your league, being totally honest. You just are putting out so much good information, and I'm so impressed with everything that you do. And so I'm thankful that you're back on. And I was thinking we could start a little bit with just fighting for our rights, what you're seeing. I know you mentioned a Harvard study. I'd like to know what this Harvard study is about and why it's so important that people fight for their rights at this moment in time.
Well, so the other day, Sarah Carter did a little article and brought up this new Harvard study that came out suggesting, of course, that we need to, that it will, basically they say, prolonged or intermittent social distancing may be necessary into 2022. And she said, this just, you know, kind of upsets her, makes her a little nervous and wants to know what other people think. And my response to that was, well, let me go into the study and scroll all the way to the bottom and let's see who funded it. So this is a study that was funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Morris Singer Fund for the Center for Communicable Disease Dynamics at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, NIH, the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, the Wellcome Trust. Okay, so immediately I say, well, shit, there's Fauci and there's Bill Gates. They're all over this.
Yep.
So, and here's the thing. So I can't even take this. Like, I have to take this whole study with a grain of salt because I know their game. I've been studying them for a long time. And I covered this in chapter 3 of my book on the AIDS slush fund. $90 billion slush fund in taxpayer dollars. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds universities to do the research to back their agendas. They are in their pocket. And I'm not saying that Harvard's never put out legitimate, good research. But when it's funded by these people, like, for example, just for the HIV/AIDS situation, their research, which is signed by several people involved with the Global Fund, which is Bill Gates, among others, that is what, like, set the precedent, you know, for saying this needs to be done and we need to focus on Africa and we need to rally governments to fund this. And then in 2002, George W. Bush, well, it actually, yeah, I think it was in 2002, he creates PEPFAR, the presidential, God, I can't even think of the exact name. Sorry, I have a lot rolling in my head right now. But it's basically the presidential funding for AIDS. And they've given $18 billion to the Global Fund. And people are starting to hear a lot of buzz about the Global Fund and PEPFAR right now. So Harvard's study is what kicked that off. Now, if you start drilling through all of the funding he's done to universities, is astronomical. He's given Harvard alone $65 million for these studies. And it's not just the universities. It's the same with, like, big pharma. You know, he invests in them, Bill Gates, and then he also funds them to come up with the medicines or therapeutics that he can then take and sell and run through the Global Fund and his, you know, other organizations, which of course involves the Clintons and many UN factions and the who he's funded $3.5 billion to.
When he just sees that as an investment because he gets a lot more of that back.
Yes, he is not a humanitarian. He is an investor and he is a eugenicist. He wants, you know, control, empower. They run the entire healthcare industry. And I don't know how many people know this, but the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has a trust. And everything they run through is a nonprofit. So all of the investments, you know, stocks and common shares and the $30 billion endowment from Warren Buffett, that all runs through his trust. Then the trust gives billions to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, nonprofit, right? So tax-free, now moving it over there. Then he gives to Gavi, his Global Vaccine Alliance, which is the chapter I'm working on right now, because I've only released 3 chapters in my book so far. to his, gosh, he has a new one. I can't even think of the name anymore, but it's like the Gates Philanthropic something rather. And then he gives millions out to all of his buddies with NGOs. And that money circles around amongst them. Some goes into the global fund, and then the global fund will go back out. And if you keep following this money, as well as all the corruption, you see that this is a giant slush fund.
Well, and that, and I recommend to everyone to read the stuff that you're putting out on that. And I posted that on my website. And I think it ties into, I just had Dr. Sherry Tinpenny on, and she's talking about vaccines and Gates and so forth. But we went through the legislation, and I want you to fill us in on a little bit of this. We went through the legislation, and with the pandemic, they made it so that there's unlimited funds to fund a vaccine. And then you got good old Gates boy with seven vaccine. Correct me if I'm wrong. I understand he has seven vaccine companies. So he's getting unlimited funding because of this pandemic. And then he's going to turn around and make money on these vaccines.
Well, I don't know how much funding. I'd have to look into that. I don't know how much is specifically going to, you know, being allocated to him. I believe it was seven different facilities that he was. Wasn't it facilities?
Maybe it's facilities, not companies. I don't. Yeah. I could have remembered it
he's
wrong.
He's working on it all. He's got his fingers in it all because he needs to control it all. So hence, you know, let's get the universities on producing the studies that we need to drag this out and keep everyone scared so that we can like fill in that buffer time until we get the vaccines going. And then of course, work with the various pharmaceutical companies to develop the vaccines. But I don't know specifically, I would have to look into that and see exactly how much of our taxpayer money might be allocated towards his little ventures versus directly towards, you know, other pharma companies that might be working on this.
And if he has his hands in that, because the legislation specifically does not cap the amount of money that can go into vaccine research when you have a pandemic. So that was completely opened up for him. Yeah.
And he also involved with the studies going on with the hydroxychloroquine right now. And that's the last person we want involved in those studies because he's always controlled the science. We've heard for years that, you know, from incredible, like world-renowned scientists that have been published in academia and journals, science journals, where they've gone against the grain and they've questioned vaccines, the safety of them, the efficacy, if they cause autism, on and on. And then they will squash them. They will blacklist them. They will say that they've debunked it. And the WHO backs them on all of it.
Yeah. And then they have enough interchangeable articles that are up there that people can link to that backs it and makes it look like it's really credible.
Right. Exactly. So here's a quote. So this is in chapter 3 of my book. And it's so important, and I know anyone who's ever heard me speak before, I keep repeating this because it's really important. And this is from 2008, so it just shows how long this has been going on. So this is Dr. Artara Kochi, and he was the former head of the WHO's malaria program. And he said that he raised serious concerns about the Gates Foundation undermining scientific creativity that could have implicitly dangerous consequences on the policymaking process and world health. And then he went on to state that Gates has created a cartel with research leaders linked so closely that each has a vested interest to safeguard the work of others. The result is that obtaining an independent review of scientific evidence is becoming increasingly difficult. So this is what they've done by hooking in with the WHO, who's basically the mouthpiece for the healthcare industry, and the universities and big pharma. They control the policies. They control the priorities of like what areas of health are going to be focused on and where that money is going to be channeled into. They essentially control...
they control the vaccine schedules worldwide. I had a PhD from Australia who actually did her PhD study on that. And she found that the WHO tracks the vaccine schedules worldwide, and that's what it's coming down from.
Yeah, yeah, which was created back in 1994. The mandatory vaccines for children was initiated by the Clintons, no shocker, and I did a six-part report on that. So yeah, the WHO, the fact that Trump just announced that they're defunding the WHO until further investigation, I mean, that was, I was dancing.
That's excellent. But now the media, not, you know, the very rare media that tells the truth is saying that's great. But there's this huge propaganda campaign against it, saying it's dangerous, it's reckless, it's all that stuff. They just went out and have this big blast everywhere about how reckless it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's absurd. If they're that concerned, well, send them some money, Bill Gates. You've already given them $3.5 billion. I mean, we've given them, going back to 2001, we've given them $185 million just for the HIV AIDS, which I suspect that's going to be exposed soon. I mean, that's what I'm exposing right now. But there are other people that, you know, have hooked into this. Giuliani is talking about a case where they're investigating money that went over to Ukraine to an organization with ties to Soros. And that funding was for HIV AIDS over there. So that is under investigation. We've got Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, both heavily involved with the Global Fund and PEPFAR and AIDS and Deep State and all these characters, especially Bill Gates, standing, you know, side by side up there. And I understand that. I understand that when there's a pandemic, these are the people you call, because the upper level tiers in the healthcare industry have all been owned. They're all owned. They've all been corrupted. It's just like, you know, this guy who used to run the WHO's malaria program said, it's, you can't be at that high level without being owned, essentially. So I think that I'm hoping that this investigation into the WHO is going to expand far beyond how they've handled the situation with this virus, that they start looking at, because let's face it, why did they suggest that it's not, you know, that you can't catch it human to human, or that we didn't need to worry about shutting down or these types of things? And I'm telling you, that's all going to come back on Gates. So now, whether or not they're going down that trail right this moment in time, I don't know, but it would be impossible for it to not lead to him and not involve Fauci and Birx. So my eyes are all on what's coming with that.
Well, all they have to do is look at it, right? And it's not that hidden. So if somebody is serious, if we have serious people investigating it, it should be exposed. It's like so many things now that are just in plain sight, if you will. It's just so obvious. Do you think they're overplaying their hand right now, where so many people are waking up and going, oh my God, this is... we're really in the middle of this, and these people are absolutely crazy.
Do I think who's overplaying their hand?
Not the WHO. We're talking about WHO. the globalists, the people who want to take charge and have complete control, the people who are in Agenda 30, the globalists, the ones who are eugenicists. I guess there's multiple agendas here, but...
yeah, I think they've completely overplayed their hand. And I think just watching how Trump and his team, I'm not going to say Birx and Fauci in there, but how they've managed to focus so strongly on the hydroxychloroquine, which we know full well Fauci and Gates and all of them are against.
It's crazy. It seems like they screwed up. Is what happened is they put out a virus that actually there's a simple solution for, and somebody's going to get in trouble for that because they didn't do their homework. But go ahead.
Well, but now, so like in this Harvard study, you know, they're suggesting that this could be seasonal, or it could go dormant for a few years, but then come back full swing. And so they're trying to put all these fear tactics out there to keep hammering home this vaccine. And I just feel like with the antibody and the plasma and the blood transfers and the hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pax and just all these other things that we're focusing on that are fairly inexpensive ways to treat this, you know, providing that you treat someone early on and it's not to the point where, you know, you have someone with strong comorbidities who gets this and it hits them really hard. You know, with those, I don't know.
Well, it's the comorbidity that would kill them at that point, because then it might be able to save you from the actual virus, but then they would die. The comorbidity gets out of control, probably.
Right. So I do think just seeing them focusing so much on this and these guys, the globalists, all going, well, wait a minute. And then Tom Hanks' wife, what's her name, Rita? Coming out and saying, but I had side effects. And you know what dawned on me last night? They were the first ones to announce this. And I don't even think there was talk at that point about the hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm. Was there?
Because I think
at that point it was the, you know, the HIV medicines, and we were going to be shipping those over to China to help them and yada, yada. And so how is it that she got on that right away? I don't know. Just the whole thing, you know, it's so transparent, and they're trying to literally suggest, like, who was it? Who was it? Maxine. I think it was Maxine Waters. Was it Waters? Who came out and said, don't, you know, and a lot of them were following suit. This was a big talking point. Don't trust Trump, trust Fauci, you know, and this medicine is dangerous. And what's funny to me is, so you remember my report I did on the transgender agenda?
Yes.
And I got into the puberty blockers and how those were created by none other than the Salk Institute, as well as others eventually, you know, Abby, which is part of Abbott Laboratories. So that was created in the late 80s, early 90s for purposes of treating central precocious puberty, which is a completely made up syndrome to begin with. But then later on, they decide they're going to start treating children who have alleged gender dysphoria with these hormone blockers. And as an off-label, you know, that has major side effects, they've never done a long-term study on it. So they don't even know the dangers this poses to children before they've even reached puberty, for God's sakes. And they're all okay with prescribing that. But which was never approved to be used for that. And yet this was FDA approved. It's been around for decades with very little side effects, no death.
But how about the vaccine? You're okay with putting out a vaccine and testing it on people and putting it out within a year without, when you know that getting a vaccine that works on any kind of virus is extremely rare, but this malaria drug is a problem? I mean, it's ridiculous. And if somebody's going to die anyways, like Rita Wilson, what were her side effects?
I didn't even read the article. I just couldn't stomach it. As soon as I saw that she was complaining about side effects, I said, oh, geez, here we go.
Are they long-term?
You know, they were all just...
I mean, are they just for a week? You feel nauseous and you see pink elephants for a week?
Yeah,
but you're alive?
I'm sure it's...
I mean, who cares?
I'm sure it's very mild.
Who cares? So you're in the bathroom for a week. Who cares? You're alive and now you're done.
Right. The whole thing's, yeah, it's really easy to see through it all and see their plays. And you just look at their talking points and you see them all pile on. It's
that's the craziness that we keep seeing. And it was like the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh, where they made up something from when he was 15 years old. And none of the witnesses could collaborate her story that he, you know, all the witnesses she had about the rape or whatever he did, the assault, nobody could collaborate it.
Right.
So it's just
But
that
this is a
same...
dangerous game. I mean, this is we're talking about people's health and the difference between preventing them from potentially dying. And then we have this Governor Whitmer, you know, who put the kibosh on it and literally, I don't know if it was an executive order or what it was exactly, saying that, you know, no doctors could prescribe this because it was dangerous. But then I ended up retracting that and like begging for the medicine.
Well, 2 days later she did, because I talked to Dave Janda, and he's from Michigan and he's pretty well known there. And he's a doctor, and he just went nuts. He sent an open letter and it was published, and he went into the, cause he's worked for various organizations, you know, various administrations doing health policy. And he's known right. in Michigan, and he just went after her. So congrats to him. And, mm-hmm. and, yeah, I talked to him on Easter. We talked about it. He just had surgery. So he's coming out of that, but, he's just, he was beside himself. And so I pat him on the back, but she's not giving in on so many of these other issues.
Like seeds. What the hell? The whole, not just seeds, but the entire outdoor section, you know, no lawn chairs, no charcoal, no lighter fluid, like all of these sections in Walmart that are taped off, and you can't plant seeds to grow your own food.
You can't grow your own food because it's not a necessity.
Who and I think the Vermont may have done that too.
Yeah, well, Vermont's out of control. South Carolina's police said that protesting is not a it's non-essential activity, so they can't do any protesting. That just came out this week. Yeah.
And you know how much of this, I don't know constitutional law, I'm not a lawyer, but I gotta believe that a lot of what's happening, a lot of our rights that are being removed, demanding to shut down your own business, demanding you to stay in your home. Obviously with pandemics, there probably is something written in some law that allows for a certain level of oversight or control, we'll say. But I gotta believe that a lot of constitutional rights are being broken right now. And I just feel like, look, I know we're like starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, and they're gonna be talking about slowly opening some states. But my concern is, to what avail? Like, what are they going to do when people go into work or go into the grocery store? Are they going to say, well, only half of you can come to work, or we're only going to let,
yes.
you know, like we have a grocery store here where they only let so many, they're counting how many people go in. So there's like a line outside. And this is like at a Trader Joe's, for example. The bigger grocery stores, obviously they're larger, they can allow more people in, but they're still counting the ins and the outs. So like at Trader Joe's, they have to stand in line outside 6 feet apart. Okay, so how long is this crap going to continue? Are they going to stand there and take your temperature? You know, we just saw video footage, gosh, I can't remember what country that was in, where they were doing rapid testing for people just to go into work. Okay, so now we're talking about blood, we're talking about DNA. And people can say this is, you know, some crazy conspiracy if you want, but I've researched it. Bill Gates himself got data from 23andMe and ran tests on tons of DNA through there. So this is what these people do.
They do.
So I feel like, you know.
Well, I've been listening, and I think their agenda is to say that half the people. This is what I've been hearing, some messaging, and I think this is what's going to end up happening, because I've heard too much of this messaging, that half of the non-essential employees need to stay home. So they're probably going to do some kind of on and off thing. And in any public event, you have to wear masks and gloves.
And they're probably not going to allow for any large public events like concerts or fairs or festivals or anything like that. But at some point, you know, people are going to have to take a stand on a physical level. And I'm not talking violence, but, you know, walk through those doors, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what this is all going to look like.
But where is it where the numbers end up being like the flu and not as bad as the flu or like the flu? Where is it that we can say you guys are full of crap because these numbers are like the flu? And now that we got hydroxychloroquine, we even have a solution for this. So at this point, you guys are full of crap, and more people are going to die from shutting down our economy and from the depression. And think of all the people being abused in their homes than they ever would be from this virus. At this point, we thought it was worse because of Wuhan. I was covering it. They're covering stuff up. There was something more going on there. Don't know what happened. And there's hopefully more come out. It's so hard. But at this point, what we're facing is not what we thought. So you guys need to wake up. I mean, at what point do we just say enough?
A month ago.
But what is it? What does it look like?
A month ago.
What does it look like?
Yeah, you know, and I did a pretty extensive report. I talked with pathologists, critical care nurses, doctors, respiratory nurses, you name it. And between 15 and 20 different hospitals and nursing homes to get kind of the inside scoop on what exactly they were seeing and what was really going on. Because I do have some family and friends that are in the healthcare industry and do work in hospitals. So I did know that the virus was legit, but I felt like it was being very amplified and exaggerated, mainly because I know their end game. Mm-hmm. So
it's legit. People saying that viruses aren't real and they're not contagious. I think it's a disinformation campaign because we've all had our colds. We've all given it to our siblings and our classmates growing up. We know viruses exist and we know they're contagious. But that being said, I'm so glad you did that report because a lot of people needed to see that there really is a virus here. But, the big but, there's something more and they're using it and nefarious.
Oh, yeah. And I included that in my report, too, just how Trump was reacting to military actions that were in place, protecting our borders and making sure no bioweapons get in. Because, I mean, let's be real, whether this leaked intentionally or leaked by accident, this was not a natural mutation. This was spliced. That's pretty much been proved at this point. So, you know, the Epic Times documentary was fantastic. I recommend everyone watch that. They did a great job with that.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit as you get into this. I want to talk a little bit from fact and fiction on the Epic Times because you had some thoughts on that. So as you talk, keep that in mind.
Okay. I literally just watched that the day before yesterday. It was on my to-do list. They did. I loved the way they did the research because they went in many directions. And for me, it's, you know, as a researcher, it's enjoyable watching something like that because I'm like, yep, that's what I would have done next. That's what I would have looked into. So I really felt they did a good job showing, you know, kind of tracing it and showing how China did in fact cover this up. They did shut down these labs that this, you know, there was originally funding coming from us during the Obama administration, like NIH, wasn't it NIH? I can't even think of the dollar amount right now, but it was millions and millions of dollars were funded towards this research with the woman known as the Batwoman. I can't think of her actual name. She something.
I can't remember either. I always forget I know that sounds racist and I don't mean to. I had a brother that was from Korea. I know it's not China, but same kind of thing. That's a long story. My brother, I'll just throw it out there. I had a brother that was less than a year younger than me, adopted from Korea when we were both babies. And so it gives me another attachment to that part of the world. He died when I was 15 and we kind of grew up as twins. And it gives me this attachment to this part of the world. So when I say something, I don't mean it as racist. I just mean it as fact. And my ignorance could come out in saying something that sounds racist, but I'm not because I have this love for him and that part of the world.
Yeah.
But it could be, I don't remember the name because I just don't remember Chinese names very well because it's a foreign language. And it's the same with other foreign languages. If somebody had a Russian name, I wouldn't remember it.
Well, and I'm terrible at pronouncing things. I always pronounce words wrong. So, but at any rate, it was done very well. They showed that, you know, she was studying bats and whatnot and in the lab. You know what though? So this is what's interesting then. So shortly, probably about maybe a week after that documentary came out is when WAPO comes out with the smoking gun, that there were two cables sent back, or a few cables sent back from the two gentlemen that worked for the U.S. Embassy, something environmental rather. And they had gone into the lab and they had sent these cables back. And I believe, was it 2018. I want to say sometime in 2018. So on one hand, they're saying they were giving warnings to, that this lab didn't have enough safety measures in place. On the other hand, we know that WAPO's doing this as a hit piece on Trump, trying to make it seem like they knew they were warned. So that was kind of an interesting piece of information that came out.
Well, and the thing that I have a problem with is we have intelligence in China. We know we have spies. Was there a bigger concerted effort with our deep state that's involved with this? Because why wouldn't we know about this?
Right. Yeah, I've always kind of felt like we knew or we saw this coming. There was just one thing I looked up. One of the guys that they said had sent this cable was Rick Switzer. And when I went into his LinkedIn account, he has himself listed as the Economic Affairs Chief, East Asia Pacific Bureau, Japan Desk from 2004 to present. Well, WAPO was listing him as the Embassy's Counselor of Environment, Science, Technology, and Health. And the other thing that was interesting is from December 2018 through August 2019, he shows himself on his LinkedIn account as a senior political advisor to the Department of Defense. Mm. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I can't really say much more about it, but I just find that very interesting, especially the timing of that.
Well, this all gets back into there's a narrative war going on, and that it always there's always some kind of narrative war. I had somebody on, Mitch Gerber, to talk about Falun Gong and organ trafficking. I guess it's even going on even more right now. I mean, they haven't stopped doing organ trafficking in China, and they try to say they have, but they have not. And he says, we talked about there being a deep state there as well as here, because I just don't believe that they don't, that there isn't more going on here. And he said that China was planning on putting it out and unleashing it in the United States, but something happened and it unleashed in China, and that there was more going on there. And I asked him about the, because he has a lot of intelligence. I don't know if that's part of the narrative and they use people to feed people like Mitch information that they want to get to their narrative, or if
right.
It's real. But I do know that a lot of what he's saying is real. But as far as who did what to who, I guess I'm not quite, I haven't nailed it down in my head as to what really happened.
Right.
Because I think there's too many variables, but I do believe there's a deep state in China and one here. And I think they work together. There's been a ton of investment in China.
Oh yeah.
And they want to control everything worldwide. And it's all about that power grab of a worldwide domination, and they need to control China. But there's a pushback in China, just like there is here, of trying to get control, not let these bad guys take control. Human beings are human beings everywhere. They don't want bad guys to run the world. They're seeing it. We're seeing it. Those are the people we need to be aligned with. They're trying to get rid of the deep state just like we are.
Right, right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I do think as we start to, you know, countries across the world, as we start to reopen, it's so insane that we are going to start to see people take to the streets again and start protesting, at least in other countries. I think that's going to pick back up again. What makes me so angry is the level of fear they have instilled in people.
Yes.
That makes me so angry. And I just hope that in this time that everyone's been forced to stay home, that a lot of people have done more research and looked into this to see, you know, fact from fiction. I should put that article out again. I did an article on that.
I posted it. That was great. Yes. Well, because that's the whole point. And people reading through this and realizing, I'm hoping this crisis has gotten more people to mobilize. We need to get out into the streets. We need to protest. We need to do specific things that'll keep things locally from happening. 5G is being rolled out in mass. And they have to prove to me with studies that it's safe. They can't just do words. They have to show it's safe. And they haven't done that, which scares the heck out of me. But you know, we just see agenda after agenda being implemented. So my question to you is, where are we headed? What's coming after we open our country back up? What are we going to see?
Well, my main focus right now is staying on top of exposing the whole healthcare industry. My primary focus is on the Global Fund and PEPFAR because it shows a $90 billion slush fund, something that I can show and trace and source and prove to people. And I got 20 more chapters coming. There are a lot of UN factions involved, Clinton's, three former presidents, you know, Bono, of course. There's a lot of people involved in this. And the reason that's so significant is because it's the same people in every other slush fund, in every other area. And healthcare industry is probably the biggest industry right now. You know, it has been a long time.
It is.
So,
well, is there an overlap between that and the child trafficking?
An overlap? Well, human trafficking is a $150 billion a year industry. And I've also reported on the organ trafficking as well. That's a big industry. But as far as overlap, overlap in what way?
The people who orchestrate all this behind the scenes, are they also orchestrating trafficking and clearing the trafficking lanes for all that to go on as well?
Oh, I think there's definitely some overlap, and with drug trafficking as well. I think some of these people are connected into all of it, anything that's going to bring them more money and power and control. But to get back to your original question on, you know, where we're heading, I think that, look, we've had this momentum building for a while of people fighting back and waking people up and fighting on the, you know, look, we have numerous states right now that have filed bills that are trying to make it a criminal felony to prescribe puberty blockers to children. So that's on the whole, like, transgender agenda right there. We've got people fighting, you know, the abortion laws. We've got people that have been protesting and fighting against vaccines. That's built some momentum to where, I can't think, was it South Dakota, North Dakota? I'm trying to remember which state recently did submit a bill to remove the mandatory requirement for children in schools to be vaccinated. And it lost in a 10-2 vote. But the point is, they documented it all. It's all on archived audio record now. And that these are the kinds of things that need to keep moving forward. And I believe they will. And I believe, if anything, what this virus has done, it has fueled people even more so to want to get rid of this corruption and make change moving forward. So I think that the opening of this WHO investigation is a good step in the right direction. I also feel like we need to see some big players held accountable, as in indicted, prior to elections. Trump needs to make that happen. And I do,
absolutely,
I do believe he will get in. I'm hopeful that by the time we roll around to the vaccines, that so much will have been exposed, and so many people, I mean, millions of people are hammering Bill Gates right now. People that never knew, you know, who this monster really is, who thought he was this humanitarian, are waking up to this. So we're seeing a lot of interesting dynamics right now. It's not all bad. You know, a lot of this kind of was, I mean, I don't want to say it was needed, because I understand people died, but in some way, you know, this daunting darkness that we're all going through right now was sort of catapult us forward into more exposure and hopefully change in a better way moving forward. But people have to keep fighting, and we're going to have to stand up in a physical manner. You know, this pulling people out of boats because they can't be out in the middle of a lake boating is insane. Or closing down people in cars that are trying to attend church from within their cars and getting ticketed. And I know Barr's looking into that, but it's just, they've gone so far beyond to create fear and chaos and division. It's evil. And if anything, just those moves alone should have woken a lot of people up to see what's really going on here. And there's no reason to not sell seeds right now. No reason at all.
That's probably that should be our mantra. I mean, that's the worst.
Well, in Nevada, okay, they were shutting down small health food stores because they don't see those as essential. Are you kidding me?
They're just bad guys. Okay. Well, how can people get your stuff, learn more about you, and see everything that you're doing? Because they really need to.
So my website is coreysdigs.com. It's CoreysDigs.com. Under the same name, Corey's Digs, you can find me on both Twitter and YouTube. I do a weekly podcast that comes out every Friday with the speaker and the sharp edge. And that airs on a lot of different, you know, streams, but also on YouTube.
Yep.
And I'm still working on my book right now. I'm releasing, you know, one chapter at a time. If you become a Patreon, you can get access to the PDF versions of the chapters for free. And one quick thing. So I had created this article, gosh, probably a month ago. It's a library for red pilling. And what I did is I put all of my, not all, but like 80% of my reports and articles sort of in a format like, these are eye openers, these are really in depth, you know, this breaks apart agendas. And so I have links to all of them. It's like a single document that I think people might find really helpful. And of course, I have tons of resources and tools on my site so people can do their own digging and fact checking.
That is excellent. And everyone should go to your website and see what you have, because you just do amazing work. So thank you so much for joining the program and for everything that you do.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. I appreciate it.